This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
And this is Warriors This Week, every Saturday night to noon here on 95.7 The Game. Evan Giddings, pleased to be joined by, in her debut here on Warriors This Week, none other than the amazing, very talented, supremely talented Whitley Sandretto. Whit, what's happening? How
that
are we feeling?
That was quite the introduction.
Oh, it's duly deserved.
If I wasn't nervous, I may be a little bit nervous. No,
duly
I'm
deserved.
Good. I'm happy to be here.
And I'm happy to be talking dubs with you because, so I'll just take people behind the scenes, right? So you cover the Warriors probably as intimately as anyone at this station. You're there for practices, you're there for games. And so we've had chances to kind of do shows without really doing a show during games, talking about whether it's expectations for the team, wins, losses, everything that we discuss on a daily basis from 6 to 6 here on 95.7 The Game. So we've had opportunities to discuss the Warriors. So I'm really glad to be doing it officially on the airwaves. And I know what you bring to the table as far as your thoughts, creative type of, you know, imaginative storylines with the Warriors. And so for me, at this point in the season, Whitley, as it stands on Saturday, March 16th, a lot has happened at this point. But from the beginning now to this point, you know, kind of where have you seen this season gone as someone that's been in the trenches, that has really been there day to day?
As I was talking to you about this, the thing that has shocked me the most this season, like you said, being there for practices, you know, from training camp, everything to this point in the season, I just remember going into training camp and there was so much hype around this roster from Steve Kerr, which Steve Kerr, you know, still is very confident in this roster, he says to the media. But just like with Steph Curry, his confidence level, I have never seen that from this team. Mm. Even, you know, the championship season, 2022, they didn't go into training camp and they're like, oh yeah, this roster, you know, we're going to go all the way. But this season, it kind of felt like that. That's what they felt like. And then just as the season went on, you know, everything, it just kept escalating and it went downhill very, very quick,
yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, whether it's, you know, starting from the highest of highs or the lowest of lows, I feel like the last week since the last time that the show was on has been kind of a sobering week for the Warriors, because last Saturday you lost to the Spurs. You did. So you have a loss to the Spurs on your ledger. Yeah, without Wembanyama, also without Steph. You pick up a victory against the Spurs, however, and then you bounce back and look. Even though I don't know if people expected them to beat Dallas, you know, that's a game that essentially locks you into the 9 or the 10 seed. And it's a place that is a sobering reality for a lot of, whether it's Warriors fans, Warriors players. I don't think people expected them to be in this place at this point in the season. But based on everything that you talked about from the beginning of training camp until now, whether it's suspensions, injuries, the most recent absence has been Stephen Curry, who's hopefully expected to play tonight. Officially listed as questionable against the Lakers, but expected to play tonight against LeBron James in LA. There's been a lot that's happened this season. But to hone in on this week, you know, I think that, I don't know if cratering back to earth is the right way to put it, Whit, but a 1-2 week, 3 games, 2 losses, you're essentially in a place now where you kind of know your destination. You kind of know that the play-in tournament is where you're going to be. And I guess You're just hoping that you could climb out of the 9 or the 10 spot where you currently are.
Which right now I think is looking highly unlikely. Yeah. I think tonight is probably going to be the matchup, you know, in the play-in tournament. I think it's going to be 9, 10, Warriors, Lakers. And it's just, this is literally going to be a preview of that. And we were talking earlier, it's also for them to be in that position and then having to make it out of the play-in. And then as it's looking right now, the Nuggets took over their number one. Mm-hmm. So if they make it out of that, they're going to end up having to face the defending champions in the first round. And that's just so much back to back.
Yeah, no, it's daunting, especially when you haven't beaten that team in 2 years. Denver looks like really the cream of the crop in the Western Conference. And the Warriors right now are locked into a matchup with the team that they're probably going to play tonight. Now, I don't know if I look at tonight as, you know, say a play-in preview. But the Warriors and the Lakers have met often in big kinds of games, whether it's in the regular season, obviously last year in the postseason, and in the play-in tournament in 2021. So, you know, they've had these situations in front of them before. You know, to me, I think where I want to start this show, and that's Whitley Sandretto, by the way, here on Warriors This Week, alongside Evan Giddings on 95.7 The Game. The phone number is 888-957-9570, also the number for the Comcast Business text line. And we see on YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, shout out to our chat as everyone begins to roll in here on a gorgeous Saturday morning. Happy St. Paddy's Day, by the way, coming up. But the expectations for the last 17 games, you know, is it the results? Is it the development? Is it the veterans trying to figure out where they fit for this season and next? I think that's kind of the broad place that I want to begin with is, you know, your expectations for the final 17 games. When I say the Warriors are probably going to be a 9-10. Not that there's nothing to play for the rest of the way. You want to stack W's. You want to position yourself as best you can. But your expectations for the final 17 games, where does your mind go when you hear that?
I think it's a little combination of everything you just said. I think it's especially going to be important, you know, for the young guys to show what they can do. Kuminga specifically, when Steph's out, there has not been just someone who takes over a game. Kuminga, he's kind of been that guy. But when it comes to all this, they're looking for who's going to be their consistent second best scorer. It's not Klay Thompson anymore. And so I think they're going to be evaluating all this stuff. But then also, it is a contract year, like we've talked about with Klay Thompson. And so they are going to be looking at the vets and, you know, possibly how is that going to determine what happens this offseason, how they, you know, approach free agency and everything. I think all this stuff is going to weigh in to what they're looking for in these final games.
Yeah, I think to me it's development. I mean, that's really what I want to watch and see over the last 17 games. And it's development of young players in relation to where the vets are going to slot and fit in. Because, so you talked about the optimism at the beginning of the season. And I think that was apparent. But I also think it was because of the core of veterans that they thought that they were going to get. Now, bringing Chris Paul in, moving on from Jordan Poole was the biggest offseason move. Steve Kerr even said on these airwaves, I think it was earlier this week, like he didn't expect Pajemski or Trayce Jackson-Davis to be in to be in the mix. I mean, rookies don't tend to help you the way that these two players have or have been forced to help you. So your top six looks completely different from the beginning of the season until now. And that's why, to me, it's all about the development at this point. I want the biggest moments and the biggest games to be put in front, and the biggest situations to be put in front some of these young players, because we don't know what's going to happen this summer. I do think there's going to be big changes coming, and we could start there. We could move on to, you know, what you believe that the summer entails, but to me, that is going to be dictated by how much development we see over the last 17, and ideally a play-in game or two, hopefully a postseason series, but how much development we can see from specifically, you mentioned Jonathan Kuminga, Brandon Pajemski would be second in line to me, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and then Moses Moody. But it starts with JK. How far can this guy get to position you to make the hard choices this summer? Because where everything does revolve around Steph Curry, he just turned 36 this week, and he has a 15-year gap with him and Jonathan Kuminga, and all eyes are on double zero in my mind to see how far he can go, because he's taken leaps and bounds in just his third season, and it just gets me excited to think about where he can be next year.
Yeah, and he in the next couple of years too. I think next year it's going to be maybe a similar situation, but the Warriors too, if they want to compete for a championship within, you know, Steph's time frame, they're just going to need Kuminga to start being like that guy. This season we've seen so much growth from Kuminga. And I remember talking to Draymond at the beginning of the season, and I was just asking him about Jonathan Kuminga and what, you know, we would see.
That's also a big part of the show.
I got a drop, my first drop. Look at that.
Well, so people are going to find out that Witt's actually got a lot of drops in her because, again, she's there every single day. She talks to all these players. She knows them better than anyone at the station. And, you know, whether it's, I don't know, Klay Thompson hitting you with a paper airplane.
Yep.
Or...
almost took my eye out with a paper airplane.
Yeah, exactly. These are the kind of things that we get night in and night out
basis.
That some people might not see. So take him in.
So Draymond was telling me, because I was just asking him, what do you think we're going to see from Kuminga this year, you know, in that third year leap? Because, you know, everyone knows a young player, that third year, that's the year that you want to see the growth, which we have. And Draymond, he told me confidently that you're going to see Kuminga. He is going to be so sure of himself, and he's going to, you know, come into his own. He's not going to question himself, because even last year when he did, you know, play, there was always that thing where it's kind of like he was not so sure of himself out in the court, where he was supposed to be, and would kind of second guess himself and kind of wait for, I guess, the vets to, I guess, direct him in some sense. Mm-hmm. This year, he's not like that. Like we've talked about, when he needs to take over, he does take over. But there's still just that next step that he has to get to for him to be that guy where the Warriors have that chance at. I mean, of course, there are a lot of other factors. I'm not just saying it's, oh, Kuminga has to be the star for them, you know, to make another championship run. That's not what I'm saying. But he has that next level that he has to get to just for them, like, just to consistently rely on him as, like I was saying before, the second best shooter on the team. And I don't think he's quite there just yet. I think in a couple of years he'll be there. But even next year, I don't think that he's that guy. And I think that's, you know, when this offseason comes, that's something that they're going to think about. And with the, you know, mid-level, though, I don't know how many players that you could bring in that could do that. Probably none. But I think he could be the consistent third best scorer.
Yeah.
And they could have a really decent team. But I think they need to bring someone else in who they could rely on.
Yeah, look, there's going to be cycling parts this offseason. I mean, even if they don't make a big move, you're going to see the back end of the roster. And I hate to say it, Kevon Looney's probably on his way out. Dario Saric is likely not coming back. I don't see Chris Paul coming back for what the kind of money that he's making. Like, there's going to be changes, even
and
if they're
not. The drop off of Looney this year, that's another thing that it's
been tough.
It's crazy to watch, honestly. Just seeing how dominant he was last year in that King series to just this year, he was just not the same player. He's not moving the same, and he spent so much time working on his body. He is a big fan of yoga. I'm sure a lot of you have read
about yoga.
Yoga. So what? He does yoga consistently. That's how his hip is.
Yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
No, lost my headphones.
So, I think part of that too is, so you see the drop off in production from someone like Looney, contrasted with, as Whitley gets herself together here, contrasted with the emergence of someone like Trayce Jackson-Davis. And I think that's been the most glaring part for me about some of the young players. It's that they have in situations made their predecessors look bad. And it's not that they're poor players. Like, I think Kevon Looney is an NBA player at this point. If he gets released or let go or moved on from this, you know, from this iteration of the Warriors, I think he'll have a landing spot. But because there's never, in my mind, the last 2 years, even last year, there was never anyone that was, you know, either a rookie or even Kuminga or Moody that could force you to reorganize the hierarchy, that could force you to reconsider someone like Kevon Looney's place on the team. Now, in addition to Trayce Jackson-Davis emerging, Looney's also played himself out. I think the Warriors have also just institutionally gone away from playing a five outside of Draymond as much as they can. Even Draymond's, I think, only playing, you know, 27 minutes the last 25 games. So they're trying to figure out, you know, how do we get bigger but also stay versatile? They've never really had a true seven-footer that is a starter and a force in the middle. You know, so, yeah, like, there's going to be changes that happen this offseason. The question is, I think how much these last 17 games determine that. Because even if the Warriors, and like as far as realistic expectations, you know, I think 11-6, 12-5, you know, I think that's a good finish to the season, especially if you're playing good basketball heading in. You get Curry back ideally tonight against the Lakers. You begin to build some more momentum. A 12-5 finish over the last 17 games is not by any means poor, but that's not, in my mind, going to be enough to jump three teams to get you to the 7 or the 8 seed. I don't think they can catch Dallas, and that's where the loss does hurt because of the...
Luka did get injured. I mean,
yeah.
So there is a chance that they, what they need is a team to really just take a step back and kind of fall back and struggle this, you know, these last few games. But other than that, I don't think it's realistic.
Yeah, like they don't really determine their own destiny.
And you know, Steve Kerr was like, at any point in the season, though, you can go on a 10-game win streak. And
I
was just
that.
Like, when have you seen this team show flashes this year where they are capable of doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've rattled off 9 of 10,
yeah.
But 10 in a row is... It's
when they were playing, like, really well.
It's a lot to ask for. And I know they do have some bottom feeders coming up, but, you know, they got a 5-game road trip, which includes Minnesota, Miami, Orlando, and 3 straight games, the last 2 back-to-back, like... Those are really tough. I mean, any game on the road in the NBA is going to be hard. And especially when the Warriors also have kind of a condensed schedule and they're an older group.
They are better on the road, though.
Which is a little weird.
Yeah.
They've completely flipped from last season, right? Last season.
How
opposite. Because, like, you know, most of the home games that we went to, we'd watch them and it's like, oh, this team's pretty solid. They got something cooking. And then you watch them on TV on the road and you're like, who are those guys?
They could not win on the road.
They won 11 games last year on the road. I think they already have 16 or 17 this season. So it's, you know, they've been able to stabilize themselves away from Chase Center, which has been nice. But overall, it hasn't been consistent enough. And you look at the 4 of 6 losses that they've sustained going back to the beatdown in Boston. It feels tough because they do have some marquee victories this season. You know, Milwaukee's probably the one that comes to mind. Phoenix, Boston at home in December. But in a way, those losses, or those wins, pardon me, especially the one against Milwaukee, they're less significant because you follow that up with losing 3 of 4, 2 of which to teams that you had a chance to beat. And all the work that they did, it felt like the last month kind of got eroded by the defeats of Chicago and San Antonio.
Yeah, those were two brutal losses. And everyone around the team, they're just, I think they, not devastated, but I don't think that they still believe that they lost those games. I mean, Chicago, obviously Steph got injured, you know, towards the end, and then DeMar DeRozan just kind of took over. But yeah, that one, that's just such a tough loss. I mean, the Bulls, they have been playing really well as of late, to be fair. But without Wembanyama, the Spurs, that one was just a gut punch to this team, especially where they are in the standings. Like, that just shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. So what are your expectations for the last 17 games of the season? 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings alongside Whitley Sandretto making her debut here on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. I see in the YouTube chat, I see you, Dennis. Losing to the Spurs at home without Wemby is the worst loss. I think on paper, probably. But then again, there's been so many times that we have looked at this team and said, that's the new worst loss.
Yeah, that's true.
The new worst loss. I mean, losing, what was it, around the beginning or end of the new year, the loss to Miami and kind of like their G League squad at home,
yeah,
that was a terrible loss.
Some of them have also been unlucky losses.
Defeat.
Yeah, like that one, like, against the Nuggets when Jokic, you know, hit the game winner. I mean, obviously the Nuggets are the Nuggets, but they had such a chance to take that game and then he hit the game winner. So that was kind of also just unlucky.
But unfortunately, because of their middling start, I mean, they were 5 games below .500. So you look at where they're at now and, you know, that's certainly a better spot than you were. You're 3 games above. They did a lot of work to dig themselves out of that hole. But that's why... Yeah, the suspension of Draymond, the lack of productivity from Klay and Wiggins earlier in the year, perhaps a reluctance from Steve Kerr to lean into some of the younger members of this team, all that stuff does come back to bite you at the end of the year in terms of record. Not in terms of how they're playing. Like, they could be playing their best basketball of the season going into the post and in the postseason, but it's such an uphill battle because of the first half of the year. And I think that's why, in one breath, I'm very excited to see how much better the young core can get over the last 17 games. But also, I'm not confident that they're going to get the experience that I would want them to, which is the playoffs. Like, to me, the best case scenario for the end of this season is that they get into the play. I mean, obviously you want to win a championship, but to get these young guys the necessary experience to then next year know what that postseason atmosphere feels like, to play in a completely different kind of basketball season, to get a seven game series against one of the top probably two seeds, and figure out how they match up in that, you know, neck-breaking, that kind of atmosphere that is, you can't replicate.
And I think that's the team's goal, too, is, you know, I think that's their goal getting to the playoffs, is because they want these young guys to get that experience. They'd be crazy to think, and I know Draymond said it, you know, he thinks they can go deep in the playoffs. Steve Kerr's adamant that they, if they go on a run, they can go deep in the playoffs. But I think deep down, they know that what their team is, but I really think they want to get the young guys to the first round to get that experience in the playoffs, just to prepare themselves for the future. Because I mean, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, the core, they've been here, they've done that. And so making the playoffs or the play-in to them, I feel like has to be a little deflating, because it's like, especially when you're in the 9-10 spot.
Yeah, and someone like Draymond Green a couple years ago, and they can't, like, he didn't care about the play-in. Like, he kind of ragged on it.
Exactly.
And now he's going to be trying to use it to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Like,
so they're in an interesting spot. But let's kick off the calls here. Get down to San Diego, where Keenan's hanging out, wants to talk about the expectations for Golden State. Keenan, what's up? You're on with Whitley Sandretto and Evan Giddings on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Hey, good morning, team. I just wanted to comment on your question, what am I expecting? I'm really just expecting this just to fizzle out. Personally, I kind of wish Steph would just chill. That ankle injury looked a lot worse than what I guess he was diagnosed. So I'm not sure, is he really, really healthy and ready to come back, or are they trying to make a push? But this is the most unreliable Warriors team that I've seen in recent years, and I think Wiggins and Draymond offensively.
Uh-oh, lost you there, Keenan. Did you get traded to Chicago? What happened?
I'm not sure.
Oh, there you go. What's up, man?
I'm going to leave that one to you. But I just think we should just fizzle out and retool for next year, because there's no way we're going to beat the Kings, the Lakers, or the Mavericks, and then turn around and beat the Timberwolves or OKC in the first round? Nah, that's not happening, man. So I just think we should just retool for next season and see what we can do from there.
Appreciate that, Keenan. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are looking towards next year, Whit, but that doesn't mean there still isn't value in what's left of this season, especially with how you finish.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to point out, when he brought up Steph's ankle injury and said he thought it was a lot worse than it was, I totally agree. Because when I watched that, you know, the video back, it just looked like it was also partially his foot. It didn't look like just the, you know, like a clean ankle roll. So I'm a little bit surprised that he's back as quick as he is.
Yeah. I mean,
thank goodness he is.
No, absolutely. Yeah, this team is 1-5 without Stephen Curry this season. The fact he's only missed 6 games has been pretty incredible. And of course, the one win was against San Antonio. So, like, they haven't beaten a legitimate team without Steph this season. And maybe that does point to a little bit of the depth. I think also a few of those losses came earlier in the year to, you know, Minnesota's, OKC, Milwaukee on the road. And those are great learning moments and developmental moments. But now you do start to, I know he was expecting, Keenan was, this team to sort of fizzle out. To me, that can't happen. Like, they cannot fizzle out because of every game being valuable from either a standpoint of moving towards the play-in and the postseason, which is where they want to be, or also getting more minutes and reps for the guys that you're hoping can take the next step within a year. If you're still trying to compete with Stephen Curry, and they absolutely are, they should be, Steph is still playing at a very high level, then you're going to need younger players to supplant the fall-off of the aging core. And that's squarely upon... That's why we've seen Klay Thompson go to the bench. That's why Chris Paul was brought in to go to the bench. Kevon Looney's out of the rotation completely.
Even Draymond, you know, getting fewer minutes when Trayce Jackson-Davis is in playing 5. Like, they want to ride the young guy's legs.
Yeah, and Kurs has said that too. I mean, he's made an emphasis, he's pointed to an emphasis on getting guys more minutes. And you can just look up and down. Since the start of the new year, Jonathan Kuminga and Brandon Bajemski have played the second and third most minutes of any Warrior not named Steph Curry. And even with Steph's absence, you look at the total minutes, Kuminga might have caught him. So they need those young players too, because also, you know, I don't feel comfortable being in the same place as the beginning of this year where there's optimism about what they can be and where they can get to. Because if you have guys that are 33 and above, you might be ready for a postseason series, but you got to get through 82 games first. And I'm even pessimistic on the fact that those 30-plus-year-olds are going to carry you through a postseason. We have seen the Warriors play a great month of basketball in February. In order to contend and go deep into the postseason, you got to play a month and a half. You got to play 2 months of great basketball, in addition to already playing 6 months and just slogging your way through the regular season. That, to me, is where the young players have helped in the past, and they've been able to kind of cushion those aging legs, but now they've become necessary, in my mind, to where this team can go, which is, you know, 44 wins is the baseline. That's what they got last year. And right now, they stand at 34 and 31. So down the rest of the way, in order to get back to that mark, they would have to go, you know, 10 and 7. I think that's absolutely doable. To me, that's where they have to be. 44 wins should be the floor for the remainder of this team, the remainder of this season.
And another thing, too, we're talking about the young guys. This is their chance to show who they are. But especially when you think about players like Wiggins, who was so important in that championship season. I'm not calling him a young guy because technically he's not young now.
He's probably 10 years, though. Yeah.
Yeah. But for the guys younger than him to step up and take over Wiggins this season, he's been very inconsistent. He's been dealing with personal stuff. And so I'm sure his mind has been elsewhere dealing with that. With Wiggins, when he's on and he's aggressive and he's playing like 2022 Andrew Wiggins, we've seen that this team can be a very, very solid team. But you just don't get that from Wiggins now. So now it's the time for the young guys to step up and show what they can do to take over for the guys who aren't playing like they once did.
Yeah, I mean, we can dig into Wiggins more. We talked a lot about him over the last couple of days, and I have some thoughts on the other side that I do want to get into. But the question we want to start with is your expectations for the final 17 games beginning tonight, 5:30 tip in L.A. against LeBron James. Stephen Curry is questionable, but earlier this week was listed as expected to play by Steve Kerr, expecting another Steph versus LeBron. Perhaps one of the final clash of these two titans, in which are still the marquee matchup in the NBA. What is your expectation for the final 17 games of the regular season? Is it about the results? Is it about the wins and losses? Is it about the development? Or could it be about veterans fighting for their future place on this team? When we return, we'll dig into that and take your calls at 888-957-9570. That's Whitley Sandretto. My name is Evan Giddings. Back with more after this on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
Keeping it rolling here on a Saturday morning. Glad you could join us on a gorgeous day in the Bay Area. Warriors This Week, that is Whitley Sandretto. My name is Evan Giddings with you here on 95.7 The Game. Brandon IU on YouTube, get off our girl Wit, all right? She's a Chiefs fan. They might be three-peating, but you already got 3-4.
You don't have to throw me under the bus like that. They're going to hate me now.
No. Well, okay, all right. I feel like everyone has an understanding because, Bonte's put you on blast a few times.
Yeah, he's just salty because he lost a bet to me in the 2020s.
Did you run that bet back this year?
No, he wouldn't do it.
I wonder
and you know
why.
What? I respect it. He said he's not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes. So, you know what? That's smart. That's very smart.
Look, I don't feel like it's throwing you under the bus if you are on top of the world as a football fan. I mean, look, even though the Warriors have been in their heyday, you know what it's like when you're rooting for a team in which they're the overwhelming favorite. People are afraid of, you know, the matchup against you, whether it was the beginning edition of the Warriors, whether it was the Kevin Durant version of the Warriors more specifically. And I don't want to say that the Chiefs are quite there, but they are a dynasty just in the way that the Warriors were a dynasty, Whip.
And also, I'm a little suspicious, so I'm not going to say that they are three-peating and not three-peating. I keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. Well, either way, that is the Wiz. That is Whitley Sandretto. Evan Giddings with you. The number is 888-957-9570 from the 925 Comcast Business text line. Wiggins has to finish strong in this final stretch if the Dubs are making their playoff run. While I agree with that, that was kind of where we left off at the end of last segment. Someone like Andrew Wiggins, I think, is the perfect poster child for what this season has been, which is up and down. And the only thing consistent about this season is that it has been inconsistent. Whether it's because of, you know, a lack of production, whether it's been because of suspensions, whether it's been because of injuries, one that Stephen Curry will likely be working his way back from and play tonight against Los Angeles at 5:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. You know, Wiggins is someone that has been so difficult to figure out. And you mentioned the fact that in, yes, 22, he's the guy that took them to the next level. And I think in a way he can be a player that unlocks this team. I guess I'm just in a place where I'm not expecting that to happen. And I would rather put my chips, whether it's as an analyst or a fan, and a media member, whatever you want to call it, I'd rather put my chips when I'm watching tonight against the Lakers in someone like Kuminga or Pajemski or even Moody to an extent, but players that I feel like have room to grow, and their exponential growth is something that I want to see more than, well, is Andrew Wiggins going to show up tonight?
Yeah, and I think Wiggins is the key that actually could unlock this team. But like you said, I don't expect that at this point. And I don't want to downplay everything that he's been going through, you know, in his personal life, because that does weigh on a person. But it's just, we just have not seen the Andrew Wiggins that we saw in 2022. And I don't think we'll ever see that Wiggins again. And so the remainder part of the season, I do think the key is to see what these young guys can do. Clay, we've talked about, you know, his contract situation. And if for him, this is an opportunity too to show that he does, you know, he should get paid to stay here, whether he should or not. That's up to the front office, I guess.
That is up to Joe. And I'm kind of with Mickey D here on the YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. 2022 is a lifetime ago. Like it feels like that. I mean, whether the team has clung to that value, like if you run it back, you know, if you're coming off a championship last season, I guess I give them more leeway for kind of staying or remaining in their ways. It's because you are a year removed from a championship. But when you have a core of 33 and olders, 2 years is a long time. I mean, Steph was 34 years old and a finals MVP and looked like one of the best, if not the best player on the planet 2 years ago. And not that he isn't one of those guys now, but he isn't someone that can just will them to a 50-win season anymore. I don't know if he can will this.
Yeah,
I don't know if he can will this collection of talent that has taken steps back around him. I don't know if he's good enough at this point to kind of drag the rest of his guys through a play-in tournament and then through a postseason.
I don't think there's any player that's good enough to will, you know, this kind of roster further in the playoffs or to a championship run. I think that'd be unfair to put that on one guy. And Steph Curry, you know, some people are like, oh, is he falling off, this and that. Steph's work ethic is unmatched. Behind the scenes, everything he does, it's insane. This season, I've just seen, especially it was like, what, December through the end of January, it's like when he ripped his jersey, there was just this point where he just seemed very dejected. I'm not sure what right word to use, but I've never seen him like that. Even during like the Kelly Oubre season, kind of like hopeless. And I don't know why I named that season 2021. Yeah, exactly. And there was a point this season where I've never seen him like that. And even we saw him when he went to the press conferences and he would get up there and right before the trade deadline, when he was like, the definition of insanity, what is that? Doing the same thing and expecting different results.
Yeah.
We've never really seen that Steph get up there and be that vocal and show how disappointed he was in the team and how they were performing. And that's something this season that I've really been noticing a lot. And I think Steph, it's like, he's kind of accepted their fate. He's accepted what they are. He's even said that they're average, the way they're playing, they're just an average team. So why is he going to exert himself and give every single thing that he has when he knows that they're only going to make it so far?
I think the answer is because he's Steph Curry. And
that's
he's
true.
The
I'm
ultimate
not saying,
competitor.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's being lazy or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying.
No, but I think there's a lot of fans with that would tell you, hey, like, why should the coaching staff push Curry? Why should he play 35 minutes a game over these last, you know, 15, 17 games just to get into a play-in where you might lose and get eliminated? Curry might also tell you, hey, if we only have 17 games left, we get a limit. I got all offseason to get right. And in fact, it's funny, you got me thinking about the 2021 year. You know, I think one of the big reasons that Curry was so fresh, I know he dealt with some injuries in 2022 when they won it all, but one of the reasons that he, along with the rest of the team, was so fresh and revamped was kind of because they did get bounced early. Like, they didn't have to play an extra month of excruciating basketball. Conversely, after the championship season, when you only have a 2.5 month off season, your body is just not going to be, at that age, able to recover as quickly.
And I think they went to Japan. Remember that?
Yeah,
that was a very short off season for them.
No, it was, and that's why we're trying to figure out here on Warriors this week with Whitley Sandretto and Evan Giddings just what the expectations should be for the remainder of this regular season, which begins again tonight against the Los Angeles Lakers at, what are they called, the Crypt now? The Crypto.com?
The
Crypt. Hey, it's been the Crypt for the Warriors. I don't think they've won there since 2021, in fact. So it's been a Crypt for Golden State. But let's get out to the phone lines. 888-957-9570. Hanging on patiently from Los Altos is George. George, my man, how are you? What's going on? You're on Warriors this week.
I'm good. I'm good. You asked, you know, what the expectations were and what his thoughts would be. Is it more development? To me, that's exactly what it is. I think we're looking at our future core three guys in Kuminga and Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think they're our future. I think after this season and going through the playoffs, which we will make, I'm not unrealistic to think that we're ever going to win a championship because we just won't.
Gotcha.
For a number of reasons, which we get not teeth.
Sorry about that, George. You're kind of clipping in and out. Feel free to call back. But I think I get your point. It's about the development. It's about the four young pieces. I don't know if you call them a core four by any means. But, you know, Jonathan Kuminga looks like he's the guy that's most ready to take even further leap next season. Pajemski has come a long way in just his rookie year, and the fact that he's in the starting lineup to me is, in addition to it's a compliment to him, it's also kind of a reflection of the rest of the roster in my mind. And then Trayce Jackson-Davis, who's emerged as a really serviceable and kind of a game-altering backup center. I don't know if he's ready to start in my mind, but I think TJD's come a long way. And then, of course, Moses Moody, who has just been, I think, an odd man out in a lot of situations. But when he got to start for Wiggins, I liked what I saw.
Yeah, Moody, too, he needed that three the other night. He missed, what, 13 straight threes, I want to say, before he made that?
Yeah, so someone put a lid on the tin.
Yeah, and Moody, he's someone, when he's out there on the floor, I trust his offensive game. I trust him as a player. So it was tough to see him struggling shooting the ball for a while.
Yeah, I think the question for me about Pajemski, Moody, I guess a little bit Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think they are floor raisers. You know, they're going to, you know what you're going to get from them. Pajemski's going to shoot 38%, but he's not going to take too many pull-ups. He's not going to be an offensive force, but he's a connector. Moody's a guy who, even if he isn't hitting a three, gives you hustle. I think he's gotten better defensively, laterally speaking. He's long, and in a league that values wings, he is valuable. But I wonder how much those three players, leaving Kuminga aside, can raise the ceiling of this team in the near future. Because, and that's really why the postseason, to me, it almost has to be, like, they have to get to the postseason. All right, I want to see what those four guys, but specifically Kuminga, Pajemski, and TJD, because those are the ones who are most likely to play in a playoff format. I want to see how they react to being a part of this rotation. I mean, Kerr has said TJD needs minutes before the playoffs. Pajemski's going to start. Kuminga's going to start. They need those guys to get better quickly. And I think an easy way to expedite that, whether it be because they're thrown into the fire or not, is to get a 7-game series against potentially a team that has a chance to go back-to-back, because right now Denver's the one seed.
Yeah, that series would... That'd be interesting.
It'd be scary.
That would be very scary.
I would not be optimistic.
That would be very scary. But like you said, I do think it'd be very valuable for the young guys to get that playoff experience. And I do think that maybe this is where the team's mind has shifted to what their goals are and what their expectations are. And, you know, maybe it is getting to that first round to get these guys that experience, which will become very valuable in the next year or two.
Yeah.
When they hopefully... make it back and further.
And I think also a stretch run. I mean, when you're fighting for your postseason life, I know that, I mean, I guess Houston is a few games back. I don't really see them catching the Warriors just because I don't think the Warriors will fall off that hard. In addition to that, I don't see anyone above them outside of maybe Los Angeles, them being able to jump Dallas or Sacramento. And that is where, you know, like they didn't have Curry against Dallas, but that game hurts.
Yeah.
Because you are pretty much unable to win a tiebreaker. So if you're 3.5 back right now, you're really more like 4.5 games back. And that's a lot, as we've seen. You know, the Warriors have dug themselves out of, you know, a big hole, but they haven't really made up much ground in relation to the 6, 7, or 8 seed in quite some time, because even though they put together a fantastic month of basketball, it just all came collapsing when they lost to San Antonio and Chicago. So, you know, right now, I think they're essentially locked into the 9-10. And I guess from that standpoint, when tonight is, you know, is somewhat important, because you wouldn't like to go on the road in a first elimination game. You would at least like to host one. But in the same breath, you know, the Lakers have been kind of a matchup issue for you for quite some time.
I think it's a bad matchup for the Warriors.
Definitely. And at the end of the day... You know, and that's where it is going to be Steph versus LeBron. That's where it is. You are going to have to rely on your best players in a win or go home type game.
Yeah, that's one thing, though. I think the Lakers are just a very bad matchup for the Warriors. But do they really mind going on the road for the game?
I mean, I'm sure they would tell us no.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what they would say.
Yeah.
But just like with their record this season, like we talked about the home away record, I mean, they have been better on the road.
It is
a different atmosphere, I guess.
I don't think it would matter for the vets. I do think it would matter for the young players.
Guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you can make the job easier, if you don't have to put them in a scenario where it's, you know, 1 or 2 possession game, fourth quarter, your season's on the line, and Pods has got the ball, Kuminga's got the ball, and fans are screaming at you. I mean, you can't replicate that kind. And who knows? That could be value for them in the future, but... if they're to get into the playoffs, I don't know if, like, to me, it's going to be, also, I wonder how Kerr would react in that situation, if he would trust those 24 and youngers, those 21 and youngers in that situation, because they haven't been there before.
Yeah, and I think that's something Steve Kerr's been working on all season, is trusting the younger players. We've seen kind of the evolution of his trust, where it's before he wouldn't say he didn't trust them, but just the way he was playing them, it was obvious that he didn't. So I think, too, if they make the playoffs, that's just something to me that would be very interesting to see how he handles the young guys.
Yeah, no doubt. 888-957-9570 is the number. 95.7 The Game. This is Warriors This Week. That's Whitley Sandretto. Evan Giddings with you here, as always, 9 to noon every Saturday. Let's get out to Mark in Millbrae. Mark in Millbrae, my man. How are you? Going once.
Hey, you got me there?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're
that.
All good.
Hey, what's up, guys? To me, guys, the biggest difference this season is the Warriors just complete mediocrity at home. That's the thing that defines this season that I look at. Even if they're slightly above average, they're easily a top 6 seed this year. And to think about how many games they've lost at home, and to the quality of the teams, as you mentioned, the Spurs being one of them, but just going back, the quality of bad teams they lost to at home. And then you look at their road difference, when last year they were just pathetic on the road. And this year, we actually have more confidence in them away from Chase Center. But that being said, though, to me, I look at this game tonight, I think they can win too, because let's face it, guys, the Lakers have been in the same boat as the Warriors. They got an icon, and to them, it's even worse because you got a guy like AD who's probably a top five player, and they're still struggling with a bunch of young supporting cast. So I wouldn't be surprised if they, even though they struggled against the Lakers, I wouldn't be surprised if they won tonight because it's been that kind of season. So if you're the Warriors, you probably got to finish, what, about 10-7 probably, I'd say. And at that point, I think they can get out of the play-in. It's just one of those years, guys. When you look at the West, it's so stacked. You got even a team like Phoenix who's in the play-in. So you're going to have two really good teams who are going to be left out of the playoffs this year. But if the Warriors get in, minus Denver, guys, I think they can beat anybody because as great as OKC and Minnesota, they're still young and unproven. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors matched up with either one of those teams and beat them. So as you guys mentioned when I was listening on the line, to me, Wiggins has got to be that guy. He's been so up and down, inconsistent. We don't know where we're going to get out of him. And he's got to be that X factor because Kuminga has been balling out of his mind. Podemski, Trayce Jackson-Davis has been a find. So there are some great strong points of the season with the young core we finally actually hit on, their draft picks. But it's just some of the veterans who have been, you know, up and down. Klay finally finding a stroke, and we'll see if he's going to want to come back. Hopefully he does and not let his ego come in the way of going somewhere else because he thinks he can start and get more money. So I just think overall, guys, I'm not going to give up on the season. I think they can finish strong here and make a run. Outside of Denver, guys, you look at this, the West, as great as it is, nobody scares me. The Warriors have proven it time after time again. I'll get your thoughts on that. And don't count on them winning in L.A. tonight. And it's going to be a fun stretch here, guys. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. A lot to unpack there. Yeah, I mean, look, if they win tonight, that'd be the first time since October 19th, 2021.
Wow.
Yeah, that they've won in L.A. And that's another reason. I think an elimination game in Los Angeles, that's pretty daunting.
Yeah.
And a one-game scenario against, you know, I don't consider Anthony Davis a top five player, but LeBron James and Anthony Davis in one game can beat you. Conversely, I also think Steph Curry in one game can beat you. I don't have much confidence in either of these two teams in a seven-game format being able to win four against a team like Denver. But to Mark's point, I don't know how you feel about this, Whit, but maybe people feel like the Warriors can be dangerous in the West. I think just because there's a lot of parity. There's a lot of really good teams, but there's so much parity. If the Warriors were in the East, we'd be talking about them potentially getting into the sixth seed. We'd be talking about them matching up with the three or the four or how, you know, where can they get. But in the West, there's just a lot of really good basketball teams. And I think because there's so many stacked at the top that people outside of Denver just feel like, well, it's the Clippers. Well, it's Minnesota. Well,
teams
it's OKC.
Have gotten so much better in the West. That's the other thing. Everyone's talking about the core's age, they're aging out, this and that. No, teams simply have just gotten better. They've made moves. They've done stuff to improve their rosters, whereas the Warriors, for the most part, they've just kind of stayed the same. And, you know, teams have caught up to them, and that's the reality of the situation in the West.
Yeah, I mean, right now, pretty much the top three is up for grabs between Denver, OKC, Minnesota. You're going to play, in all likelihood, one of those teams.
Can I also say, when I was at second round last year in LA, the Crypt, the Whoop. Crypt is what we're going to call it,
yeah.
Crypto Arena, I was very disappointed in the atmosphere there. Like, it's very much just celebrities and I don't know. I was a little bit disappointed. I thought it was going to be much more. I mean, obviously the Warriors still lost that series, so.
Yeah,
but did. I was a little bit disappointed in the atmosphere there. I have to say that.
I would like to think that the postseason, no matter what atmosphere you're in, it's going to be ratcheted up. I mean, the nerves are going to be higher. And again, like if we're talking about the last 17 games, your expectations, and I think a lot of people lean towards more development as opposed to the actual results. And now, ideally, they're intertwined. You know, your young players are helping you win games. Curry's going to be back. You're pretty much at full strength regardless. I know Draymond's also questionable for tonight, but...
Do you think Steph will be on a minutes restriction?
No. I think if he's back, he's back. And I feel like that's generally the case. Like, I know Wiggins came back after missing four games and he only played 16 minutes, but I think that was more due to his just general ineffectiveness as opposed to them keeping him on a minutes restriction. I don't think they'd bring Steph back unless he felt And more importantly, I guess, Rick Celebrini felt like he's 100%.
Yeah, I agree.
And I also think him and Draymond are just kind of attached. Take from that what you will.
No comment.
888-957-9570 is the number. Let's sneak Mark in San Francisco in before the break. Mark, how are you doing? What's going on?
I'm doing great. You know, I think Moses Moody has a lot more to show offensively. I think there's a lot of potential there. I just think he needs the ball more, and he needs more of an opportunity offensively because I think the skills are there to be a good one. He can shoot, and he can also drive to the hoop. So he's not just a shooter. He can score. And I just think that, you know, that his teammates got to have a little bit more confidence in him. And I think once he gets his, you know, playing more, I think that shot will be a lot more consistent.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah, I mean, look, I question whether or not Moses Moody can be an elite three-point shooter, but in order for him to stay on the floor, he's got to be at least league average, which I think is around 36%.
Yeah, and before he started struggling, I mean, he was pretty consistent, you know, at shooting the ball. But it was just that little streak where he just missed 13 straight threes, and it was like, huh, what's happening here?
Yeah,
well, hopefully, when he made the one the other night, hopefully that's going to put him back on track.
Yeah, but the reason why I like someone like Moody, in addition to Pajemski, is those guys at full strength. So assuming Curry's there and he's going to be your offensive force on any night, you don't need Pajemski or Moody. Like, they can help you without scoring. Now, if Moses is going, you know, 1 of 9 from the floor, that's a problem. But you don't need Moody to be a focal point of your offense. To me, him and Pajemski, what they do in terms of scoring would be like ancillary. As opposed to someone like Jonathan Kuminga, who I think we're in agreement needs to be your number two, or at the very least, your number three score on any given night.
Oh, definitely. And I think Kuminga consistently, he could be considered their number three best scorer. But right now, he is basically their number two best scorer. My thing with Kuminga is, though, more so for the future, can he consistently be their number two best scorer? And I'm not so sure he's there yet. But, yeah.
Hey, Benny on YouTube. No, I wouldn't be courtside selfie stalking Denzel. Might be selfie stalking Nicholson. He doesn't make it out to LA too much anymore. Definitely not the Kardashians. Not my style. But I'll tell you what, if I saw Shohei Ohtani down there, I might grab a selfie. That's for sure. 888-957-9570 is the number. I see Austin in San Jose. We'll get to your call on the other side. And I do want to zero in on Kuminga because I think he is in many ways either. Like, I want to quit talking about someone like Andrew Wiggins as being the key. Now, he might be the key to this season, how far they go, whether you believe it's the play-in, whether you, I don't know, have a pipe dream to me that they can go win a championship. To me, I think Kuminga is the guy that has to be viewed as the key for this team. And I think that also includes this season. That's why I'm excited about tonight. I'm excited about the last 17 games. I'm excited about a hopeful elimination scenario, which could get them a first-round series, because I think that is valuable for someone like Kuminga. I think he has the biggest chance to take a leap that can get the Warriors back into contention. I want to talk about him as the key coming up on the other side. If you agree, if you disagree, I want to hear from you at 888-957-9570. Also, the number for the Comcast Business text line. That's Whitley Sandretto. Evan Ginnings with you here on Warriors This Week. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.